Welcome everybody to another exciting meditation session. So what we'll do with this one is this is one of my favorites, but it's just very, very useful for beginners to, even absolute raw beginners, people who've never meditated, anyone, even for beginners to intermediate, the dark color meditation where you just focus on that darkness in the mind with eyes closed. It can be very, very useful. And actually, I'll do the preamble first. And then I'll go through the techniques for you. All right. So when we look at the whole scheme of the Buddha's teaching, and there's, as you know, especially within Buddha Dhamma, and very much so in the forest tradition, that you see a lot of emphasis on meditation practice. And why is this the case? Why do we need to meditate so much in Buddhism? So it's pretty obvious to most of you guys that the Buddhist path, you can't really get very far at all. You can only get so far with the Buddhist path without, say, developing the meditation practice to quite a significant level. So, all of you are aware, you have the, in a nutshell, the main factors of the path, the sila, samadhi, panya. And the panya is the peak point of the pyramid of the training. And why is this the case? Why do you have to? I mean, it's pretty obvious in a way. Why do you need wisdom and insight to reach the pinnacle of the Buddha's teaching? Why can't we just reflect? Why can't I just think and ponder and reflect in daily life? Isn't that enough to bring an end to, to make my mind peaceful, to bring an end to karma and rebirth? And, you can certainly, if you're quite skillful with meditation, you can definitely, develop a sense of peacefulness, contentment, a sense of ease.
And resistance.
To stress. More, like emotional stability of mind. There's many, many benefits to the practice. And but in essence, the key principle is that, especially with the monastics who are expected to practice consistently, at least, especially in the forest tradition, nothing less than several hours a day. Even the most busy of abbots, they like to do at least 2 hours or three if they've got time. On a daily basis, and even with the monks and nuns that you see in the city temples, that particular fraternity, they always tend to have regular morning, evening meetings. So even though they may be quite socially engaged, the monastics who have, quite an engaged community profile will always sit for a full hour. Usually they sit for a full hour in the morning and in the evening with the chanting and blessings and sharing of merits, all the different bits and pieces that the monastics in the city temples are responsible for. So when we look, at the development of the path, why can't thinking and pondering be enough to develop deep insight? And this is something that every, all monastics will come to that realization, regardless of any tradition, even if they don't believe that you need, say full samadhi, you don't need the jhanas to realize the fruits of the path. And this is a real, this is a real, what would you call it, like a cutting edge principle. It's a turning point. And because without the jhanas, you really cannot attain enlightenment, attain nibbana. You could potentially do it with Upachara Samadhi. This, I've heard teachers say this. But the Buddha stated very, very clearly, you know, dozens and dozens of times, you've got to have full samadhi, full suppression of the hindrances and full development of the five jhana factors. And this is the difference between people who realize the Dhamma and people who don't after 20, 30, 40, 50 years. This is the sticking point. And anyone who leaves after 20, 25, 30, 40 years and goes back to lay life, this is the sticking point. You've got to have at least, absolute minimum. I couldn't even say exactly if you could even do it with Upachara Samadhi. The Buddha never said that. And most of the real heavy duty forest teachers, whether they're male or female, will tell you categorically it's got to be full samadhi, full suppression of the hindrances, the underlying defilements of the mind. Otherwise, there's no clear knowledge, there's no clear seeing. As long as the personality is still active and one cannot see deeply and precisely into one's personal experience, the possibility of the breakthrough to Dhamma is virtually impossible, you know, from what we've seen. Because this is the point. This is that the point between those who can and those who don't, even over many, many years. It's quite interesting. I've had people tell me, even with the Burmese, within the Burmese Vipassana fraternity, that they feel that you can do this with Vipassana, like the Vipassana jhanas, you know, through this continual reflection, contemplation, noting, mindfulness. But the bottom line is that none of these people will actually state in the Sangha, no matter how much they believe this, most of them are not game enough to state in front of a monastic community that they've attained the Buddha's Dhamma with these Vipassana nanas, because essentially you're putting your robe on the line. And this is the difference between people who have full confidence, who have absolutely no doubt, no confusion, so let's see now what we'll do 10 minutes of the dark color meditation, and then let's have a look, maybe up to 10 minutes that'll be okay, because we've got like easily till 4:15, more like 4 p.m. roughly. So say 10 minutes on reflection of all the good things that one sees within oneself, and all the good things that you have done for others and the general community. And while you're actually doing that second meditation, those reflections, I want you to watch the actual energy level in the mind, and then we'll finish off with the Anapanasati focusing around the mouth. It's still sharp, distinct, and comfortable, and that'll take us through to roughly about 4 p.m., and then we'll have a Q&A. All right, so I'll talk you through it. We'll start with the dark color meditation. So just get yourself in a comfortable position with legs crossed. And usually if you have the hands together, the hands touching on any level, you're drawing the energy inwards. You know, as I've mentioned, if your arms and legs are all over the place, you know, the physical energy is dispersed out, and then the mental energy goes out. It's the way the chi runs. When you cross your legs, the hands are together, the energy is more internalized, it's more grounded, it's moving inwards. That's exactly what you have to do with the mind. You have to keep moving in and in and in. Back straight, head upright and comfortable. And then
I want you to close
your eyes. Just close your eyes fully, very, very relaxed. And I want you to gaze into the blackness. Hopefully your minds aren't incredibly black. You guys want to be more positive than anything else, but it's a matter of perception. You're just gazing into that darkness, that dark colour, and you're using that perception, that very, very neutral perception, to draw attention away from thoughts and feelings and the physical body. This is an excellent technique for beginners, for all beginners. And I'll just make a start with that. We'll do that for 10 minutes and I'll talk you through it. As you gaze into the darkness, just try to relax all the muscles around the eyes and all the muscles in one's face and the remainder of the body. So now we'll try the second type of meditation, which is a bit more active and energizing, before we do the breathing. So what I want you to do is for, say, like a couple of, at least a couple of minutes, reflect and just consider all the good things that you see inside your personality, all the good characteristics, personal traits. You could be, I don't know, it could be like a loyal, trustworthy friend. You could be helpful and supportive to your family. You could be a person who's health conscious and looks after one's physical well-being. So all those things that you are aware of, all the good principles that you see within oneself, just bring those to mind. Just think them over, bring them to mind. This particular meditation makes the mind a bit more positive, energetic. It's good for people's self-esteem. You know, when you reflect all the good things you see inside oneself, all the good things you've done for others, you know, you tend to feel good, tend to feel better about oneself. So go internally and do that for a couple of minutes, and then go externally, and then look at all the good things you've done for your family, friends, relatives, for the general community, acts of kindness, generosity, goodwill, social support, community support, for several minutes. we're going to move on to the breathing meditation. So I want you to place your attention around the sensations around the mouth, and you'll feel the breathing on the periphery of that area. The reason why I focus there is it's quite clear, it's fairly sharp, very easy to track. You don't lose it that easily. And follow with that meditation for the rest of the session. you're still thinking excessively or have strong emotions running in the mind, just stop and investigate, contemplate, and try to understand why you think the way you do, you know, what you're actually attached to and why, and the kind of emotions that you're running, you know, who are they connected with, at what time, what location. Try to understand everything about these particular mind states, which are obstructions to peace. So you sharpen your wisdom faculty and teach yourself to let go of these things. people feel a bit sleepy or restless, just breathe slowly, deeply into the base of the abdomen. So we're coming towards the end of the session. I'll ring the bell 3 times. You can open your eyes when you're ready. So anyone got any questions on the meditation at all? Happy customers. Oh God, sorry. Okay, so from Wolfham in Germany. How can I stop my focus from drifting into concentration when relaxing? How do you define awareness? How can I watch a feeling when I am one with that feeling? That's interesting. Okay, so how can I stop my focus from drifting into concentration when relaxing? Well, you must have, I mean, if people are able to concentrate, they're part of the same business. So when a person meditates and they're focusing, they tend to relax. It's just a part of say the mind relaxes, the body relaxes. You know, the less you think, the more at ease you are. You know, the less one thinks, the more the physical body is relaxed. How do you define awareness? Well, you know, when you look at the essential characteristics of the mind, to say the pure mind, is its main function is just a pure state of awareness. That's all it does, nothing else. That's its primary function, the pure mind of, say, the fully enlightened individual. And so when you say awareness of what? So that mental factor of awareness is aware of things, objects, thoughts and feelings, concepts, ideas, projections, past and future. You know, that awareness just goes all over the place, all over the world, and it's, you know, it manifests, you know, when with objects, like sense objects, mental objects, that awareness brings those things into, so like knowingness. You know, it is possible to have that pure state of say awareness in say for example the realization of Dhamma, the realization of enlightenment where there's just that awareness of cessation of everything, cessation of thought and feeling and ideas and concepts and principles. It's the cessation of absolutely everything, and that's why the Buddha called that the ultimate peace, the ultimate stillness, because the mind is absent of all those things which disturb it. How can I watch a feeling when I'm one with that feeling? Well, it's just something you basically do. I mean, you know, you're watching a feeling. When you're at one with that feeling, that it means that your awareness, your attention should be quite sharp. If you're just focusing on one feeling and you're one with that feeling, that means you're really with it from second to second to second. And, you know, there's no distraction. Like, you know, full samadhi that you see in the jhanas states. One of the expressions of full samadhi is non-distraction. So you are one with the... could be one with the breathing, you could be one with the bliss of the jhana states. I mean, you've got a number of mental factors there in the jhanas, but whatever it is, you know, because you're looking at fine mental phenomena, whatever it is, that you are one with those mental factors. You can call it jhana. Say, for example, you had something like fourth jhana, equanimity and one-pointedness of mind. So the mind is, you know, incredibly still. But, you know, you can go even further than that into refined states of perception, awareness of pure states of perception, you know, infinite space, consciousness, nothingness, neither perception nor non-perception, and then Nirodha, Samapatti, the cessation of feeling and perception. From Cassandra from Sweden, I have a question about meditation. I have a very hard time with the thoughts during meditation, really trying to accept the thoughts, pains, and be an observer, though I still cannot calm my mind. My mind is always so busy, and I would love some recommendations. Thank you. Well, what I would definitely recommend for yourself is really try to develop that that dark colour meditation, because I've said this numerous times, but the reason why it works so well is it's because it's so neutral. It's very difficult to connect that darkness, that neutral darkness in the mind with anything. It doesn't really trigger very much. You can't really associate things with it, you know, because it's apart from thinking, it's apart from the physical body, it's apart from
feelings,
that perception of dark colour, darkness in the mind. So that's a good one to work with and develop. But if the mind still doesn't settle down, there's a couple of things you can do. You can focus on feeling in the body, so you're drawing your attention away from the cerebral level, and you draw your attention away to maybe the feelings in the hands or the feeling of, say, one foot on the floor. So just pull the attention from the top of the body all the way down to the feet, maybe to one foot resting on the floor, on the cushion, and that can be useful. And if that still is not effective enough, you've got to do a lot of contemplation, because, you know, people think so much because they're attached to things, to people, to events, to the past and future, and also, you know, a million and one things. We're attached to things. That's why we just can't stop thinking about this stuff. And you need to teach yourself. You need to understand. Why am I doing this? This is irritating and disturbing, and, you know, there's a degree of emotional pain involved. But the mind itself, it only knows that the mind, say for example, our mind is just like a child. It's like an ignorant child, an ignorant, misbehaving little child, and you have to constantly keep teaching yourself just again and again and again and again, thousands and thousands and thousands of times, until the mind understands and lets go. But the thing, the underlying forces and energies in the personality, the defilements in the mind, are those things which basically
pull the mind
all over the place, all over the world, all over the universe. Is the defilements, which are the force, the energy behind thinking, behind attachments. Without those defilements, you're absolutely completely cool as a cucumber. You know, you don't love, you don't hate, you know, you don't want to possess, you don't want to control people. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? I mean, yeah, those three things are fairly effective once you start to develop them. And don't give up on them, you know, like even with the monastics, you know, we do this stuff for years and years and years on end. And, you know, it's still not like a piece of cake. You know, you constantly have to keep adjusting the practice and strategies because, you know, the personality, all this underlying stuff in the personality is quite tricky. It's always weaving and dodging, and it's changing its form, and it, you know, gets you from different directions. From Alexandra from Romania, how can one deal with doha samadhi if it becomes a habit? The only thing I can imagine there is deluded samadhi. Moha samadhi, deluded samadhi, if it becomes a habit. So deluded samadhi, deluded samadhi might possibly be things like being half asleep when you're trying to meditate, drifting off, going into fantasy worlds. What else? Let me think. Things like, you know, thinking too much, you know, strong emotions, you know, going over stuff which is not even necessary. Like 90% of the time we think about stuff which is not even necessary. You only think when you really need to. And when you stop, then the mind goes to a state of calm, at least to a surface level of calm. Something I also recommend is also Cassandra from Sweden and Alexandra from Romania is to do the one mantra per minute meditation to give the mind more power, you know, over all your waking hours. Say for example, you're a person who just can't stop thinking, just can't stop imagining. Your mind is all over the place. Every 60 seconds, you use this anicca sanya, this anicca principle. Things like feelings are changeable, thoughts are changeable, concepts are changeable, the mind is changeable. You do that one mantra once every 60 seconds and you do it at least 16 to 18 hours a day. And I can guarantee you when you use that kind of very gentle, but you know, hours and hours and hours and hours on end, that the mind's going to start to slow down. And when you do that one mantra per minute, you contemplate and try and understand your personal experience, your emotions, your aspirations, your one's loves, one's hates. You need to understand that stuff, otherwise one can never be free from it. You know, if you could just reflect like this and put this stuff to rest, you know, you could be enlightened in, you know, 1 to 2 years if it was that easy. But you're looking at lifetimes, you know, endless lifetimes of karma. That main thing that, you know, you've really got to understand why you do what you do. Otherwise there's no release. From Joe Mann in the Netherlands, dear Achan, I've learned to have compassion for all bugs in my apartment. But what if I see a bug near the drain during a shower? Should I let go and accept it or save it? What I would tend to do is I would basically, like, say for example, to give you an idea, even in the monks' bathroom, the monks' ablutions blocks where we have showers and toilets. Even if a bug is drowning in the toilet bowl, I will actually put my hand into the toilet water and save the bug. You know, if he's on his last legs, if I can't get a piece of toilet paper, sounds a bit funny, I can't get a piece of toilet paper to save him, or if I can't get him out, he won't come out, I mean, I'll just put my hand in the toilet bowl, just scoop him up and take him out. You can always wash your hands later. I would definitely save them. Definitely save them. They could have been your relatives in past lives. But the gentleman says, should I let go and accept it or save it? I mean, there's letting go with wisdom. You know, it's like if I see an old person walking across the road, about to walk in front of a car. You know, you're not going to just let go. You know, it's a silly thing to do. Real letting go relies on insight and wisdom in its development. So it's all, you know, so this business of letting go, it's letting go through insight. It's not letting go through stupidity and ignorance and just allowing the world, your world, just to go to pot, you know. From Lior, could you please explain what is the role of that monk that is sitting next to you? He is my personal servant. He is the one who makes my cups of tea, who locks up the monk's quarters, puts out my sitting cloth and looks after my bowl. He's like my professional servant, but he doesn't get paid. Okay, so from Henry in Victoria, Australia, why is every time doing the dark colour meditation, I found myself staring at my own brain instead of forehead? Should I let it be or force it gazing forward? Well, I don't get that experience at all, funny enough. All I want you to do is just gaze into the blackness, gaze into the darkness. I don't expect you to. That's a hard one. Looking at one's own brain instead of like forward perception. But it's just a skill. You train yourself to do these things. So it's just gazing, just very relaxed into the blackness. That's all you have to do. It's nothing complicated. You don't have to think about it. Just gaze. Just look into the blackness, and ignore your body. Don't pay any attention to your brain, or your forehead, or the muscles around your eyes, or anything else. Just do that one thing. Question from Adonai in Mexico City. Do you have any advice for me as a beginner to use the sutras, please? Thank you. What I would tend to do is, of the four volumes, what I would definitely do is get the sutras in electronic, on Kindle or Amazon Fire or anything, Windows, Apple, Android. Yeah, get the sutras in electronic, all of them, all four main volumes. And then I would start with the Anguttara Nikaya, because that is one of the easiest ones to work with. You've got all these short, very pithy, very very meaningful, interesting, wise, reflective sutras, and things like those long sutras in the Digha Nikaya, in the Majjhima Nikaya. They may be too much for some people. This constant repetition over and over and over again might be a little bit too much for some people. But in the Anguttara, they're shorter. The sutras are shorter. And there's much more information in that book, and it's more interesting. There's more stuff you can reflect on, and with the naturally with the electronic, you can search very easily if there's a certain word or phrase that you need to understand. You can just on Kindle, I remember on Kindle, you can just search through all four volumes. You may not be able to, you can't do that on Android. I don't know about Windows or Apple, but on Kindle, you can go through every single book which is on that Kindle device, one word or little phrase. So, I mean, Kindles are not that expensive if you've got nothing at all. But it's pretty fast. You know, you can find out anything which is important to you, you know, within 60 seconds. It'll just easily, in one volume, it'll be up easily within 30 seconds. And okay, we're all finished. No views and opinions. No nothing before we finish up. Okay.